Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Diversification Department of Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah.
So.
I like it.
In the interest of trying to broaden our appeal, we decided to try to branch out. And the other day, my brother and I and Dougie Berman and Dougie Mayer went over to the public golf course at Franklin Park right here in Boston.
Beautiful downtown Boston. Sort of.
And our goal was to review golf carts.
Yeah, who did we do this
or
for?
Golf cars.
We Travel and Leisure Golf, Doug says.
Yeah.
And what's that, a magazine?
Yeah, it's a magazine. And they showed up with their entourage of helpers and photographers.
Man.
It was fun, but there were several unfortunate incidents.
There were incidents.
So we all pile into these golf carts and we take off. And the first thing that happens is Berman's dog, Zuzu.
Well, Doug is in front. I saw the whole thing happen. Doug is in front of me, and he's driving like a nutcase. He thinks he's doing the downhill slalom. He takes a severe left turn.
And Zuzu goes flying out
the right side of the golf cart.
And he goes, oh!
I see her rolling down the fairway. At least you're going to yell four or something.
She should have been given a little warning, the poor thing.
Poor thing.
As interesting as it is, the next calamity involves Berman, too.
Oh, that's right.
He's trying to climb. We had a front-wheel drive golf cart.
I mean, we were doing real test drives on these babies. They were brand new style even, in this case.
He tries to climb a hill. What happens? He gets stuck. 500 golfers, angry golfers are behind him. They kill him.
Well, and it was interesting that these golf cars... Oh, my God, golf cars. They're golf carts.
They're golf carts, yeah.
Although one of them, the Gem, is a car. It's actually street legal someplace wacko out
west. North Dakota.
Of course. How about Montana?
Not yet, because it won't go over 100.
Won't go over 100, right. But it was the only one that was a front-wheel drive vehicle, and it's the only one that wouldn't make it up the hill.
Right. And then the top off the day, we had a visit from an officer of the law.
Yeah, what was his problem?
Evidently, someone had reported a disturbance of the peace on this public golf course, and we were it. I guess we were just having too much fun.
It was good. It was good. The sun was out, and we had a rollicking good time. And it was better than working. How would we know?
Anyway, if you'd like to ask us about your car or your golf cart, we're now experts in golf carts. We know everything about golf carts.
See, now we can take calls about golf carts.
Indeed. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
This is Terry from Bluebell, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Terry. Bluebell.
Did you say Terry or Carrie?
Terry. T-E-R-R-Y.
Terry.
Terry.
From Bluebell.
Bluebell.
Do you have any bluebells in Pennsylvania?
I think we have some in our yard, actually.
Yeah, they're little blue things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a few.
Yeah, shaped like a bell.
Yeah, there you go.
You got it.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, Terry, what's on your mind today?
Well, I have a 1998 Mercury Sable wagon, and I have an intermittent problem. And my big concern is I just don't want my car to die on me. That's my goal. Mm.
Okay.
And the problem is, at times, my car, like, has this vibration in it and this grinding sound. Like, it happens in the front of the car. And it will actually cause, like, my brake pedal and my gas pedal to vibrate, and then I get this really loud grinding sound.
Really? And does this happen when you're stepping on the brake?
No, it can happen. I could be on the highway.
Yeah.
Here's an important question.
Okay.
Well, maybe. The theory is beginning to coalesce. You know when the planets cool?
Yeah.
You know, they go from this amorphous state.
You can see shapes.
See shapes.
You see little shapes, and then the shapes turn into stupid ideas.
There you go.
Yeah.
Has it ever happened when you are stopped at a traffic light?
Yes.
I.e. not...
Ah! It has.
Ha-ha!
Yes.
Wowzy!
Well, I think I know what it is.
Oh, good.
Do you now?
Yes, and I think it's nothing. You haven't taken this into the Ford dealer?
I took it into the Ford dealer, and they said it's intermittent. We don't know what it is.
We don't do intermittent
stuff.
Yeah.
So we have to wait till your limbs are dragging on the on the highway.
Got to do it every waking moment, otherwise don't waste that time.
Yeah.
I think what you're hearing is the ABS pump cycling on and off. Your car has anti-lock brakes.
Yes.
And there's a pump that maintains pressure in the accumulator so that when you do deploy the brakes, there's enough pressure there to actuate the brakes as the car was slowing down and going through this lockup, free up thing with each wheel.
And the system is constantly checking to make sure that the pressure is high enough. And if it's not, the pump just kicks in any old time.
And it sounds like this.
Is that it?
Yeah,
it'll last about maybe 15, 20 seconds.
Even less sometimes.
Sometimes less.
Longer.
Or longer. It can last even longer. like 20 or 30 or 40 seconds maybe.
Even if you're, like, not even stepping on the brake,
yes.
It will just do it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't know. It doesn't care. It's just checking the internal pressure of the system.
Okay.
There could be a leak in the system, but there are some cars where there is nothing wrong with the system, and it runs for that duration, and it is that annoying. So you might suggest to the Ford dealer that that's what it is.
Okay. That sounds great.
Suggest to them that they change the pump.
Okay, great.
See you, Terry.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Mm. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Stu from Altamont, New York.
S-T-E-W?
S-T-E-W.
It is.
Where are you from?
Altamont.
Altamont, New York.
What is that?
The Altamont Fair.
Up in the mountains, I would suspect.
That's right by at the edge of the Helderbergs.
The who?
Edge of the Helderbergs.
Helderberg Mountains?
That's it.
Are they part of the...
Wait a minute.
Which side of the continental divide are
they on? Give me up, down, left, and right. If I'm looking at New York State, up, down,
yeah,
left,
they're
or
up.
Right.
Everything's up.
Do you see, as you're looking at New York, do you see Albany?
Yeah,
I
keep
see Albany.
West,
yeah.
And if you went to Schenectady, you went too far. Just back up a little bit and you run into Altamont.
I gotcha.
So what's up, Stu?
So what's up is this. I've never owned a sports car before. And I fell in love with this car 1 year ago. Wife really, really listened to me. She knows me well. She realizes that she's really got a precious gem here.
Are you talking about the husband or the car?
The husband.
The husband. Yeah.
What's the...
It's a 300Z, 86.
86.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
And so on Father's Day, she treated me to this car.
She buys this car for you?
Yes.
Wait, it's a 300Z?
Yes.
Cool.
What happens is that it's time for, I'm looking at it and said, well, it's got a little dent here and the paint's chipped a little bit here. And I said, well, I'll take it to to have the car appraised for a new paint job and a little bit of body work that it needs. And I did, and the man came back with a three-sheet printout, all nice computerized. And I look at the bottom line, and it says $2,500 and... 2531.79 cents.
Mm.
And so that bottom line is a bottom line that she's not ready to go to. And I've got to try to somehow convince her that I am worth every penny of that.
Mm.
Oh. Well.
How much did the car cost originally?
Originally $1,200.
$1,200?
Yeah, it was a real good buy.
So you want to spend $2,500 to fix up this thing?
You got it.
Just the body.
The body and the paint job. And
yeah.
The man said when it's done, it's going to look like it's factory product coming right off the the assembly line.
Yeah.
Won't that be a great day, huh?
Now, do you think $2,500 is out of line, first of all?
Well, what's wrong with going to Mako or Earl Scheib and getting the same job done for $399.95?
What? $253.
I talked to the guy about that, and he says what happens is that you get a paint job like that, and you really damage the look of the whole car, the whole paint of the car, and that don't do it. You're better off not getting it painted.
Then don't get it painted. $2,500 is too much money. Oh, you didn't want to hear that, did you?
Wait a minute.
Well, I mean, you're asking the wrong guy.
Well, it's hard to justify. It's hard to justify. If you can go to Mako and for $400 get a paint job that looks pretty damn good. And by the way, I wouldn't bang on any of the dents. Paint right over them.
Oh, really?
Sure. I mean, you'll hardly notice them. You'll be so wowed by the brilliance of the paint job. You won't notice a few little dents here and there.
Yeah.
So just have them paint the thing. And don't forget, you can get six of these paint jobs, and a half paint jobs
for $2,500.
$2,500
until I get the one I like.
Did you get the one you like? You keep bringing it back. There you go.
Now, if the car looks too good, you're gonna give it more importance than it deserves.
No,
Yeah,
you are.
I mean, you are. You know, what's going to happen is you're going to every time a dog jumps up on the side of the window to say hello to you, you're going to push him away because he's going to scratch the paint. You're not going to have any fun in something that's pristine. That's my opinion.
Yeah, you need a couple of those runs on the side that look like a butterscotch sundae.
Mako will do that for you.
No, Mako does a very good job. You will be more than pleased, and you'll be able to spend the money on the brakes and ball joints and all the stuff that the car really needs.
Okay, and I guess with Mother's Day, I could use the difference and do a real nice thing for my wife.
Now you're talking, Stu. Good luck, man.
Okay.
See ya.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
He didn't want that answer.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Ann, and I'm calling from Columbus, Georgia.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, I'm driving a 96 Dodge Caravan.
Okay.
What the deal is about 6 weeks ago, my husband had his vasectomy reversed down in Tampa, Florida. Okay? Uh-huh. And we had to drive back home.
You sure you called the right show?
This is Car Talk. Are you with us on this?
Okay, yeah. Well, go ahead. It's your nickel.
Okay. Was there a lot of pain associated with this?
Yes, there was.
Was he taking painkillers like Percocet or something?
Well, actually, he did pretty good.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, tell him to take 2 aspirin and call us back in the morning.
All right. He's doing much better. He's doing much better now. It's been 6 weeks, and he's all healed up. But.
Oh, good.
He's all better.
So you're driving back from Florida to Columbus.
Right. Well, the situation is that you have to lay down completely for 3 days after the reversal. So we took all the seats out of the van, and we put a twin-size mattress in the back, and he laid down on the way home.
Yeah.
Well, I was the only one that was driving, and I was speeding like a banshee.
Sure, because you couldn't stand the moaning and groaning. get me home.
Well, actually, it wasn't that bad. He was pretty knocked out at that time.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got home, and after we got home...
How long a ride was it, by the way, Ann?
About 7.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, so I drove it pretty hard.
Did you stop to pee along the way?
I did, yes.
Did he?
No.
Okay. Just check it.
Do we really? Do we need to know that?
Do we need to know about a vasectomy? No.
Evidently, if you let Ann finish, you might find out more.
Okay.
Jeez.
So you're driving at 85 miles an hour for 7.5 hours.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. And so since we've been home, every time I start the engine when it's cold, it basically makes that rah sound, but only when the engine is cold.
You mean as you're turning the key to the start position, it goes.
Yeah, and then
you let go of the key, or you don't. What do you do?
I do, and it starts right up. It doesn't sound like the thing is hitting the flywheel strange. It sounds like more like an air compression. That's what my husband said. I recorded it for you.
Oh, good.
Oh, Ann, we love you. Because she knew we were going to tell her that she needed a starter.
Or a flywheel.
Or a flywheel, and she knows that's not the answer.
Right.
Or at least her husband thinks it's not.
Right, well,
okay, play it.
Okay, I don't know, you might not be able to hear it very well, but here it goes. Did you hear it?
Do it again.
Okay, hold on. Did you hear it?
I love it.
He's right.
I know.
He's right what?
It's not the starter.
Oh, yes, it is.
I don't think so.
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Play it again.
Wait a minute. Don't do it yet.
Oh.
If my brother listens carefully, he will notice that before the engine begins to turn is when the noise occurs.
Exactly.
And it's as the starter is beginning to...
Well, that's what I want to hear.
It's the solenoidal part of the starter that as the solenoid is engaging is making that noise. And then as soon as it does that, the starter begins to turn and cranks the engine over. Listen carefully.
All right. Go ahead.
See?
Oh, boy. Did you record this from inside the vehicle or under the hood?
No, under the hood.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Boy,
no, I don't
if only all
doubt.
Our callers were as good as her. Well, here's the good news, Ann.
Okay.
You had nothing to do with this.
Oh, good.
And the fact that you were driving like a wacko all the way back to Columbus did not in any way cause this problem.
Wonderful.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Great.
It is.
So, by the way, I can't ask.
No, you can't ask. No, it's none of your damn business.
Well, you can can ask.
I mean, we didn't have to know about all the details here. All she could have said was...
Right, you were running from the law.
I was driving and I drove for 7.5 hours at 85 miles an hour. If she wanted to bring her personal life into this...
That's right, I can answer it.
She deserves everything.
That's right.
Well, I can answer.
Did it work?
Oh, we don't know yet.
Oh.
It takes time. He had the...
Thank God.
He had the vasectomy. He had it for 12 and a half years.
Really?
Yeah, because he has 3 children from a previous marriage.
Well, I was going to ask that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably figured that was enough, and you convinced him to reverse it.
Exactly.
Jeez, that's great.
Well, he's a great husband.
I hope it works.
I'm actually a nanny.
Really?
Yeah, so I love children. Love them.
Excellent.
Cool.
Well, they're all right when they're not your own. When they're your own, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I can go home.
Well, good luck, and get your starter motor replaced before it falls out on the street.
It is a starter motor.
Yeah, I believe
starter
so.
Starter motor. I agree with my brother. There is no doubt about it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We get them all. Hey, we gave out a puzzle last week. Do you happen to remember that?
No, but I'm going to take your word for it. As they say in law school... So stipulated.
Well, then, I don't think there's any shot you can remember the specifics of the puzzler.
Also so stipulated.
All right. Well, anyway, it was about an old VW bug that wouldn't start and a guy who got it started in a very clever way without any help and with very little equipment.
Huh.
And we'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Susie's having a birthday party. I've been to them since she was 10. But I'm sitting here in a driveway, 'cause my car's all broken again. And I'm driving an old, old Ford. I'm driving an old Ford. And I'm driving an old, old Ford. I'm driving an old Ford. And I gotta stay.
And even those skunks wrinkle their noses in disgust whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was an automotive puzzler sent in by a fellow named Morris Maduro, and he wrote the following.
Mm.
My friend Bob used to drive a VW Beetle, you know, an old one from the 60s. One day, when he came into work a few minutes late, I asked him what was going on, and he said that his battery died. I asked, so you got a lift in, huh? He said, no, I didn't. Well, did you get a jump start from a friend? Nope. Did you get a new battery? Nope. The dead one is still in there, and it's under the seat, you know, under the back seat. Did you at least lift the seat? He said, no, that's the same question my girlfriend always asks me. No, I didn't lift the seat. Did you push start it? I asked. No, he said. You know I parked the car in a garage at the bottom of a hill.
Yeah.
Gee, Bob, it sounds like you willed it to start. Did you even pop the rear hood? No, but I did open the front hood. Are you trying to trick me? I know the engine's in the back on a Beetle. No, I'm not trying to trick you. I started the car by myself, and I didn't even touch the engine or the battery, but I did open the front hood, and I used something I found under that hood to start the car. The question is, what did he find, and how did he use it?
Yeah.
When he opened that, he found... A pair of coveralls and, and a spare tire, and he also found the jack.
Yeah.
So he did the following. Got into the car, turned the ignition key to the on position.
Mm-hmm.
Did no good to turn it to crank because the battery was what? Dead.
Yeah.
He pumped the gas a couple of times like you would do on one of those old cars to set the choke, mm-hmm. prime the carburetor.
Yeah.
He then jacked up one of the rear wheels, which are the wheels that receive power from this engine.
Mm-hmm.
He put the transmission in gear, probably, I'm guessing, third gear.
I would have used third.
Yeah. If you put it in fourth, the engine would turn too slowly. If you put it in first, it would be too hard to turn the engine. And what he simply
did... Second or third.
...was he began to turn that tire that was elevated off the ground by hand. And with the transmission
in gear... You got it?
Gear,
so he's jacked up the back of the car, one side. So one wheel's on the ground, and one wheel's off the ground.
And as he begins to turn this thing, almost like you would turn a steering wheel, but really fast. And, you know, he turned it forward because it was in a forward gear. And as he did that, the engine began to turn. And once it began to turn, the engine actually started up and ran, and that wheel began to turn. Now, the reason the other wheel didn't turn is because vehicles that have differentials, like all vehicles do, will only send power to the wheel with the least resistance or least traction.
Yeah.
So in this case, when one wheel is off the ground, that wheel will turn freely and the other one will just sit there.
Luckily, otherwise that would have been dangerous.
Mean, some modern vehicles with limited slip differentials and all-wheel drive and all
that
you can't do this with, but in 1965 you could do it with a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And that's in fact what he did. And then of course he would get into the thing, take it out of gear, lower the jack down. And if he was lucky, he would drive to work without stalling it. Pretty good, eh?
That is superb.
So who's our winner?
We had no winner. Nobody got it right. The winner this week is Kate Kelly from Drewsville, New Hampshire. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Kate will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can pick up our CD, Maternal Combustion, Calls About Moms and Cars.
Which includes the call in which our dear mother, Elizabeth, revealed which one of us she loved the best.
Actually, I think she just wound up saying she'd take a bad case of bed bugs over either one of us.
Whatever, it's in stock now. In the meantime, we'll have a brand new, this is it. This is groundbreaking, I want you to know. This is a brand new puzzle from my Track and Field series.
Track and Field. What is Track and Field? A race?
Yeah, Track and Field is like, you know, the Olympics, you know, and you know, Track and Field. Pole vaulting and all those kinds of things. Well, I have a series now of Track and Field puzzlers.
How many puzzles do you have?
Well, so far one. But, you know, that's how a series starts.
It does. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that'll be coming up in the third half of the show, so don't touch that dial. It'll be scintillating, I guarantee it. But right now, if you have a question about your car or, of course, anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. If you can remember that, try calling us. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi. This is Andy in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Andy.
Twin Falls, Idaho.
Yeah.
What's up in Twin Falls?
I'm a budding shade tree mechanic. I guess that's the way I would put it.
And, great. This is great.
Anyway, on several occasions, I've had to use the old mechanic's trick of, you know, basically beating off a part with a hammer.
Yeah.
When something is stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
People have said to me, well, you know, if you can't get it off beating it with a hammer, you know, you might try heating it up with that propane torch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that'll loosen it up a little bit more.
They're almost right.
Well, it doesn't seem right to me at all. Because, I mean, I remember when I was in physics in college, you know, we did this little experiment with the...
Wait, you went to college?
Yeah.
And you want to be a mechanic?
Well,
shape up, will you, Andy?
Car.
Come on.
But I remember an experiment we did with this. We took a brass ring and a brass sphere, and the ring, or the sphere, fits through the ring, and then you heated up the ring, and then the sphere didn't fit through the ring anymore.
Yeah.
Because when a solid expands, it expands in all directions.
Correct.
So if you had a brake drum, for example, that was stuck on the hub,
right,
by heating it up, you would make the hole in the drum smaller.
It would make sense.
And you would make the axle flange bigger, therefore swaging them together.
Right.
So that the heating them up would, in fact, make it more difficult to get them apart.
Well, that's the way it seems, but maybe I just have enough physics to really mess me up.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't. Yeah. I mean, that
I
is
remember
true.
This experiment vividly.
Yeah, except we did it in eighth grade, I think. In any case, the reason it does work. And for example, we heat up rusted bolts all the time that won't come out, or rusted nuts. You put the wrench on it, and the thing won't budge. You heat it up with the torch, and it walks right off.
But that's different.
Or you heat up a brake drum that won't come off.
Yeah, we know that.
And the question is, why does it work?
Yeah.
The physics, the laws of physics are not changed once you work on cars. They're the same. What's happening is that you are breaking the rust bonds.
You are
expanding those metals enough to actually break the bonds that are They're holding those things together.
Right, because the reason that these things don't want to come off is not because the hole is too small, because it went on there already. Mm-hmm. So the hole is the right size. So when you're heating it up, you're not heating it up so much to expand it as you are to get rid of all the junk that's keeping it from coming out. And okay. Boy, we know it works. It may not work, however, with a Mickey Mouse little propane torch that you have, because you got to really get some serious heat. I mean, a brake drum is a big, heavy thing. You need some real, you need nuclear power. So you got
to... No, your next acquisition has to be
an
oxyacetylene torch.
Come on.
You need it.
Really?
If you're going to pursue this as a hobby, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
There is no budding shade tree mechanic worth his salt who doesn't have oxyacetylene in his basement.
Right. In fact, if you don't have one, by the next time you call, we're going to refuse to talk to you.
But, oh, yeah, but what does one of those cost, an oxyacetylene?
Who cares what it costs?
But think of what you can do with an oxyacetylene torch.
Well, you can make jewelry in your basement. It's endless, the things you can do with an oxyacetylene torch.
You can cut through kryptonite.
The reason I do home projects is not because I care the least about how my house looks or how long it's going to last. I only do them so I can buy the equipment and tools necessary to do them, so I can have them, because I like tools and equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's
a strange thing that happens. It is strange.
It is strange.
Why is it that men are so into all this stuff?
I just have to figure out a reason for buying a Bridgeport milling machine. So I can put that. I don't know. I don't know anything that needs to. I have a door that's sticking.
Well, you know. Well, you can make the hinges. You can make new hinges. You're going to have to use CAD CAM to do it.
All right.
So be it. The challenge, though, is not making the thing. The challenge is convincing your wife that you have to have it.
Do you have a significant other to convince?
No, I don't.
You
don't.
Oh,
then it's load up.
Load up before you get married, man. Nice talking to you, Andy.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
All right, see
Good
you
luck.
Later.
Bye.
Did you have a question?
I don't remember.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Alyssa from St. Louis.
A-L-Y-S-S-A?
Incredible. No one ever gets that right.
From St. Louis.
St. Louis.
It was just a complete, it was the only way I knew how to spell it, actually.
Alyssa. Alyssa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alyssa.
Alyssa.
What's up, Alyssa?
Well, I have an extremely stinky Nissan Stanza wagon, and it smells on the inside like raw gasoline.
Oh.
Yeah, and I've taken it to three different shops, all of whom have told me there's nothing wrong.
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is.
You can?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'll tell your mechanic how to find the problem.
Okay.
And when he finds it, he'll verify what I... What I'm going to tell you right now, if I can remember.
Is this a big problem? Okay.
He's going to get his emissions tester.
He's going to get his emissions tester out.
Okay.
And when they go around the car with the emissions tester, one of the things that's great at detecting is unburned hydrocarbons.
Unburned hydrocarbons.
Which
is what gasoline is.
It's
the classic. It's the archetypal unburned hydrocarbon.
Okay.
And when he comes to the area of the filler neck for the gas tank.
Okay, filling deck for gas tank. Okay.
You know, there's a little door you open.
Right.
And then there's the whatchamahooses, the cover to the gas thing.
They call it gas cap.
Gas, there you go.
Similar to a baseball cap, but smaller.
When he sniffs around there, the needle is going to go bonkers.
Okay.
And what you need is, I believe, and the only reason I suggest this is we've replaced a few of these on Stanza wagons.
Okay.
You need the filler tube, the thing that runs from the gas cap.
Uh-huh.
The thing to which the gas cap attaches and ultimately leads to the tank.
That's it?
Yeah, what year is this Stanza wagon?
It's an 86.
And it's just the right age for that thing to be rotted away.
Oh, so that's all it is?
Maybe. If it isn't that, I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
But it's probably that. But even if that isn't it, if you suggest or if you find someone that has an emissions tester, that's the easiest way to sniff out leaks.
Okay.
And it works great. It's much better than your nose.
Well, that was unbelievably simple.
I know it.
Yeah.
We were hoping to prolong it a few more minutes.
Well, I was. I was thinking we'd have a big mystery.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
You want to talk about grass or anything?
Do I want to talk about grass?
No.
I've got a lot of violets in my grass.
Oh, you'll never get rid of them.
I don't want to. I like them.
I hate them.
Do you use cream rinse?
Cream
never mind.
On the grass.
It's an inside joke.
See you, Alyssa.
Thanks for calling, Alyssa.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bada bing, bada bang.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
How you guys doing? This is Noah from Flagstaff.
Hi, Noah.
Noah.
That is
Flagstaff.
Correct.
No misspelling that name. F-L-A-G-S-T-A-F-F. Okay.
People yeah. do it.
What's up?
What's up, man?
Well, I got a little question for you.
Yeah?
I have a 76 Dodge Tradesman 200 van.
I know it well.
You do. It's a wonderful vehicle.
Well, let's not get carried away, but it's not bad.
It's got about 83,000 miles on it.
83?
Well, that's
been in the shop a lot, huh?
It was an old man's flea market van out of California.
Oh.
But it's not going to be driven for about another year and 4 months or something like that. And because I can't drive it, but I'm
oh,
not gonna.
Oh, your drive license suspended?
I have one of those things going on, yeah, and I get it back.
You're going to be in jail. You're going to prison?
I'm not going to prison.
You're not going to prison.
Yeah, I'm safe.
Should you be going to prison? Did you escape with a light sentence?
Are you hiding out? You're hiding out for a year and a half. You can't very well drive around your truck.
No,
because
they'll
track you down.
It's pretty,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your girlfriend is going to watch the truck for you. And you're going to run away to the Bahamas.
Right.
We shouldn't be prying.
With his wife.
We shouldn't be prying into his affairs.
Personal. Well, hey, did we call him or did he call us?
No, that's not fair.
All
Noah,
right.
We take it back.
Yeah, if you guys think you're ragging me, meet my friends.
Yeah, and they know where you're going. That's good. Yeah, okay, so you're going to leave this thing for a year to a year and a half.
Right, I mean, it's in my backyard, it's not going, I run it. Right now, I run it probably every 3 or 4 weeks for like a half hour.
And you'll have that option?
No, he won't be able to get back for any half hour. Oh, no, not from where he's going.
No furloughs, eh?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I get visitation rights.
Can the van visit you?
Well, you know, normally we would have said it would be nice if someone could drive it around once a week. But I'm going to change that because you live in Flagstaff. And I'm going to say that the best thing to do is absolutely nothing. What do you think?
Yeah. I think you're wacko.
I think you can just leave this thing parked in the backyard and it'll be you'll come back a year and a half when you get out. I mean, when you get back.
You're good.
When your tour of duty is over.
And that thing will crank right over. You disconnect the battery when you leave. Empty the gas tank. Just run it out of gas. And that's it.
That's it.
I would put the thing up on blocks if for no other reason than to make it more difficult for someone to steal.
Well, blocks is fine. Blocks is fine.
So put it up, let the suspension hang down and get the tires off the ground.
Okay.
I would do that, and I would probably plug up the tailpipe to keep unwanted creatures from going in there.
You don't have to do that. He's in Flagstaff, man.
Snakes! Snakes!
We got unwanted creatures.
Yeah, they have unwanted. No, you don't want anything nesting
They're
in
my
there.
My neighbors.
Just plug the thing up. If you can get a big cork, shove it in there, and do the same thing. Put a piece of, tin foil with rubber bands over the tailpipe, and the same thing with the snorkel of the air cleaner. Remember to take off that one on the snorkel, especially when you try to start the thing. Leave yourself a note with the keys.
Yeah, don't suck that in. That will be.
And other than that, I don't think I would do anything either. And obviously, disconnect the battery, or maybe even remove the battery.
Yeah,
That's it, man.
You can. Yeah, it's simple.
And that's it. And the other thing I would do is take a picture of the van, so you can hang it in your cell.
Hey, right. Noah, we wish you the very best. And remember,
you may get an early out.
There is time off for good behavior.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, poor guy. Well, probably did something stupid, but it wasn't for us to decide. Our job is to answer his question.
And you're right. We didn't call him. He called us.
All right, look, in just a minute, I will make a grilled eggplant emerge from my left ear.
You will?
No, but I figured after that promo, even my lousy puzzler will sound intellectual. We'll be back in a minute. I watch the cars go back and forth.
And even though Leonardo DiCaprio thinks, how hard can that be? Whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler from the Track and Field series.
I can hardly wait.
And this was sent in by a fellow named David Johnson, and I couldn't use it, Dave, just as you sent it. I had to fool around with it a little bit, but I think you'll find it satisfactory. And
he won't even recognize it, in other words.
And if I hadn't used his name, he wouldn't have known it was his.
Say, I sent that Puzzler in.
By the way, it's been a very, very long time that I've used a Puzzler, which has elicited the bogus. I just wanted to mention that.
Is this going to be it?
No, I don't think so, but we'll see.
Yeah, okay.
Right? I thought I'd mention that. Are you ready?
Yeah.
An athlete competing in the Olympic Games puts forth a record-setting performance in the final of this event. And I'll tell you even what the event was. It was the long jump, okay? Well-known track and field event. They run and they jump. They jump, right? Should be the run and jump. Maybe it is called the run and jump now. I don't know. Not only does he record the longest jump, he sets a world record.
Really?
And his jump is accepted into the record books. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, no one has jumped farther than this fellow.
Yeah.
But he does not win a gold medal. In fact, he does not win a bronze medal or a silver medal. He wins squat. And the question is...
But it's an Olympic squat.
Well, that's another event, the squat. You know...
Yeah.
There's the squat, there's the jerk. The Jewish you compete now.
I didn't know
that they had an Olympic event just for you, man. The jerk. The jerk and the squat. What's the jerk doing? He's doing squat. Anyway, that's it. So the question is, why does he win a gold, silver, or bronze, or any kind of medal, but had a record-setting jump? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back.
Wow.
Or any place, actually, of a 10-by-10-foot Summerwood Melbourne garden-slash-storage shed with Tudor-roof, cedar chateau shingles, copper finials, crown molding soffits, and double French doors, pre-stained and pre-assembled and delivered, please, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square.
Not going to fit in the box.
Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
And right now, if you have a question about your car or anything, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Leslie from South Colby, Washington.
Is that with an I-E or an E-Y?
Stop it.
I-E.
I-E. From where?
South Colby, Washington.
South Colby.
Across the Sound from Seattle.
Across the pungent Sound.
That's right.
We got it.
Okay.
Yeah. We got a fix on you now. What's up, Leslie?
Well, I'm calling with a sort of Christmas Eve mystery / tragedy.
Did I go into a time warp here? Christmas Eve. This happened.
This is about to happen on Christmas Eve?
No, this already happened.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Just thought you were planning ahead. Some people do plan it far ahead.
A Christmas Eve tragedy. Strategy.
Yes.
Tragedy.
go ahead. We're listening.
Okay. So, my in-laws were visiting, and it was Christmas Eve, and
that's
I went
the tragedy
shopping.
Right there. Well, I'm sorry.
I can't talk about that on the radio.
No, we can't discuss that. I'm sure you had a wonderful time, and you were pleased and honored to have them visiting.
I was.
Yeah.
And I did.
Okay.
So I parked my car in the driveway, as I always do, and because the emergency brake hasn't been functioning in several years, I put it in gear and checked it, pushed on it kind of to make sure it wouldn't roll, and I went about my business.
Uh-huh.
And a little while later, my mother-in-law was in the living room, my father-in-law was outside working on the porch, and I heard this odd popping sound.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got it.
And then a strange unreeling sound, and I looked up, and my car was going down the driveway really fast.
What kind of a Ford Festiva do you have?
It's not a Ford.
What kind of little junky little car?
It's a K-car station wagon.
A little K-car.
Yes.
K-car.
Did it get smashed to smithereens?
Well, I chased after it thinking, you know, I'd seen people on TV catch them, and I thought that certainly I could catch it, and I couldn't. It was going backwards. I tried kicking at the tire, and I was screaming horrible things. And my main fear was that my father-in-law could hear what I was saying. Which seems really stupid, even at the time.
It does. Isn't it interesting what the things that become important in retrospect?
So it veered sharply, and instead of going off down into a pond, it smashed into a tree, and it's now destroyed.
How fortunate.
Yeah. You call this a tragedy?
Well... Kind of.
I mean, suppose it could be.
At the time, since it was my only car, it was quite tragic.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had two questions about this entire incident. One was that no one seemed to hear it but me. So my first question is a sort of philosophical one, and that is if a tree rolls down a hill in the woods and smashes into a car
and
the
nobody hears
don't
it.
Hear it, did it make a
did
sound?
It happen, yeah. That's a good question.
And the other true question is, can a car kill itself?
Ah.
That's the real question.
Oh, this is some kind of autocide.
Autocide.
Yes.
So it knew it.
I've never thought of Leslie. You've introduced an entire new aspect to everything here.
Well, right. this car is really actually a pile of junk, but we were all very fond of it.
That's what Kevorkian Motors is.
Pardon?
There's a dealership around here called Kevorkian Motors. We often wondered what they did. We will put your car to sleep. Is that it?
Yes.
You do that in the garage, don't you, every day? Oh. Even when people don't ask for it. First of all, we should find out why it rolled away. And,
exactly.
There are various possibilities. What gear did you put it in?
Reverse.
Okay, yeah. That's good. That's the right gear to be in.
That's the right gear to be in, so, which means that you have had one of two problems with this car. One, you probably needed a valve job.
Oh, definitely.
It
needed everything that a car could need.
Well, with poor compression, the engine wouldn't be able to hold it.
Pardon?
If you had an engine with poor compression, you wouldn't be able to hold the car on a hill.
Right. I mean, the reason that it doesn't roll when you put it into gear is that the wheels are trying to turn the engine, but the engine won't turn because it's so hard to do that because you're compressing all of the air and whatever else happens to be in the cylinders.
So, imagine if you took all the spark plugs out, it would just roll right down the hill, and you hear this pop, 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 pop. You'd hear those pistons going up and down. The popping you heard was the pistons going up and down,
right,
trying to start the engine.
The other possibility is that you needed a clutch.
Yes, we probably did.
You probably needed that, too. So you might have had either or both of these problems, and that would have caused it to happen. You're right. It's interesting you bring it up because a lot of people just assume that you put the car in gear and it won't roll. Well, it depends. It depends. It might roll and it might not.
Now, see, that's the logical answer. I was looking also for a more philosophical sort of spiritual answer.
Yeah,
could it
from
have
us?
Just... put itself out of its misery.
Oh, I think it could have. I think it knew because you hadn't maintained it and taken care of it, and it was suffering tremendously, that it had to take its own life. It was inevitable.
It's an interesting concept. I didn't realize that cars could do this.
And it's a little known fact. My brother has for all these years blamed me for the demise of his sleek black beauty. Hmm. And if the truth be known, his sleek black beauty actually drove itself right onto the crusher.
Did it?
Yeah, see,
right. I didn't think he'd
believe
me.
Things can happen.
I knew he would never believe me, and if I told him that. But now that I have some kind of corroboration here, some other person that's had a similar thing happen, I think my brother will understand that the car did itself in.
Mm. I neglect. Think that it can.
It can.
I accept it.
So did you buy another car?
Pardon?
Did you buy a replacement?
Well, we're saving money to buy a replacement, and I'm frightened to tell you what I'm driving now. A 1978 Dodge Aspen.
Jeez. Frying pan to the fire. Huh? That's all right. Well, you can be certain that whatever car you get to replace this, you will appreciate
greatly.
Yeah,
you will be thrilled by it. You could buy just about anything, and you'd be thrilled by it.
See you later.
Thank you.
And thanks for this
autocide
theory.
Be nicer to your new car. You don't want this to happen again. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Didn't know that could happen.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Newton from Venice.
Newton.
Yeah.
Isaac?
No.
Oh, Newton's his first name.
Oh.
Newton is first name.
Venice? Which
Venice?
Venice.
California.
Yeah, right.
Venice Beach is one of my favorite places.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, what could be... What did I read recently that they're trying to do what there? They're trying to tear down all those honky little places and replace them with, like, concrete?
That is true, yes.
What's
they want to
wrong
put up some yuppie shops, yeah.
Come on, what is wrong with... Is everyone doing everything just to make a few bucks? Leave Venice Beach alone. How could it get more perfect than it is? Are you with me or what, Newt?
Well, I live here.
Yeah. See, he wants to see it raised.
How much more
perfect could it be? Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a perfect place.
So where are you from originally?
From Ohio.
Well,
Ohio.
Anything would look good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Omaha would look good.
Gateway to Nebraska. So, Newt.
Yeah.
Can we call you Newt?
Yes.
What's up? Is that
well,
why you called?
Here, this is sort of a hybrid between a problem question and a puzzler.
Yeah.
It's just something I've always wondered about. I was recently in Africa, and I was driving across country from Dar es Salaam to the Kenyan border.
Yeah.
In probably a 75 or 76 Land Rover. We had a driver, a mechanic, and myself.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the night, the car sputtered out at the bottom of a hill. And it would restart, but it wouldn't stay running. So I decided to get out to get, not actually a haircut, but as they say in Swahili, the little thing, not the big thing. And as I got out, the driver said, Hepana, Hetari, Simba, Simba.
I know it well.
Run like hell. There's a lion about to bite your butt. Is that what it is?
I think it means don't use the round leaves.
No, actually it means stay in the car. There's lions out there.
Ah.
Simba is lion.
Yeah,
Simba. Right?
Simba
that's the only word
lion.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just sat there all night for about 5 hours, sitting up sleeping.
Great.
And in the morning we got out, and the mechanic gets out, and he has a little bag with about 10 tools in it, and with that he can fix any car in the world.
Yeah.
With rubber bands.
Right.
And he took off the air filter, put his hand over the carburetor throat, and they could keep it running that way. But as soon as he took it away,
sure.
It would go off.
Excellent.
So we got it up a hill and finally decided they could drive forward, had the hood up, and the mechanic sat on top of the engine.
With his hand over,
his
the, carburetor.
Hand over the carburetor, right.
But that was only 20 miles an hour. So then they got out, they started fooling with the hood, and I got the idea. We took the hood off and put it in the back.
Sure.
And drove about 60 miles. And I gave him, he didn't have any warm clothes. I gave him my
with him sitting on the engine.
He's sitting on top of the engine with his hand over the carburetor
Excellent.
Throat.
Yeah.
And we drive 60 miles that way because it's the only way we could get it going, apparently.
He obviously didn't have any duct tape. What the hell
he
kind
no
of a mechanic
tape
is
that? That is correct. There is no duct tape.
No
there.
Duct tape and no rubber bands, we might add.
And no rubber bands. Only the tools and
right.
His palm. So finally we get to town, and about 3 hours, and they're banging some sheet metal around, and they put something on the car, and then we get it running, and it runs fine, and we complete the trip. But since the driver spoke remedial English, really, and I picked up a little Swahili, but nothing that we could speak specifically, I always wondered what the problem was, and I wonder if you have any clue.
Obviously what he was doing with his hand over the carburetor is he was reducing the amount of air going into the carburetor.
Right.
Which meant that the problem was either there was too much air going into the carburetor or too little fuel because the fuel-air mixture was way, way off.
Right. Mm-hmm. If the low-speed circuit in the carburetor were plugged up, then what he would be doing by covering up the carburetor is forcing the other circuits to deliver gasoline and make the mixture correct. Because if
right.
It's too lean, it'll start, stall, start, and stall. Or if there's a huge vacuum leak someplace, he would be, in a sense, counteracting that vacuum leak by plugging up the carburetor.
Right, because then the engine would be getting its air through the vacuum leak wherever it was instead of getting it through the carburetor where it would normally get it.
Right,
and it would still get its fuel through the carburetor because the vacuum created in some other spot would still enable the carburetor to deliver fuel as it got sucked in.
Yeah.
And as long as he didn't get sucked into the carburetor.
We're all set.
We're all set.
In fact, I've had many cars in which I had to be driven exactly that way.
That's why my brother has the pop-out windshield.
Yeah, it comes in very handy.
So that's what happened. And it's too bad that you that you spoiled it, because this would have been a wonderful puzzler to use, but that's all right.
Yeah, it was folkloric, it was historic, it was all those things.
Oh, it was National Geographic?
It was National Geographic, it was meteorological, theological.
And all that stuff.
You could have learned all that little Simba stuff that Newton just gave us.
And Newton, you could have won one of our crummy hats or t-shirts and
but
you mailed it in.
No, you get nothing.
Oh, well.
Well, that's a nice story. Thank you so
much.
Well,
thank you. And thanks for the info.
And what was that phrase again with the Simba?
Simba.
Say it again.
Hepana, Hetari, Simba.
Hetari, Simba.
The lion ate my Atari game.
Literally means no, danger, lion.
Oh.
Lion.
Lion.
Yeah.
Well, Simba meant real lions.
Yeah.
See you, Newt.
Thank you.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For calling. Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blooper Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Carton Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Biarritz, Harmony Grits, Bacon Bits, and Banana Splits, live by your wits but eat with your mitts, luncheon blitz, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our help desk coordinator is Dan DeFino. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. Our rock and roll historian is Bruce Wade Hughes.
Ben Hur, got that one.
We've been using him for 5 weeks. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Harvard Square professors in tweed cargo shorts as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Yeah, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1318, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to know when to pull over immediately.
Other than when you spill hot coffee on your lap, that is.
Yeah, besides that.
My brother and I often get asked, how do I know when it's a real mechanical emergency, when I need to pull over right away rather than just have it looked at when I get a chance?
Fire is a good indicator.
but not all indicators are quite so obvious. That's why you should check out our list of the top 10 signs that you should pull over right away. You can find them all this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Mayflowers do a 180 and head back underground whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.